It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You each are treasured, valued. You have purpose, live with intention, strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. We were made for this time, my friends. You were made for this Monday morning, Producer Steve.
One way or another, you will always come to that point on a Monday and just drag me into the middle of the highway.
That's for sure. I get to work with this great team. That voice was Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And we have a special treat for you today. Our researcher, she's an author, researcher, and that is Patty Kurgan. She is in studio. It's great to have you here, Patty Kurgan.
Good morning, Kim, and good morning, Steve.
And
you can sugarcoat it all you want. It's still Monday.
It's great to have you here. You've written a really important op-ed that came out in the newsletter this weekend. Would highly recommend that people sign up for our weekly newsletter by going to Kim Munson, that's MONSON.com, and sign up there. It is now on the website. But there's this initiative that petitions are being circulated at this particular point in time. It's Initiative 25, and it's the title of yours is Colorado Initiative 25, A Blind Leap of Faith, and you put a lot of work into this.
It took time to dissect it. It's not as difficult as it seems to be, but there's a lot of word usage that you have to pay attention to.
And it's important to read this. What we are learning is there's a number of influential Republicans that have put their name in endorsing this. And I'm not sure that they've read that. And that's why this piece that you've done is so important. And we'll talk about that in segments 3 and 4, Patty.
Yes. Looking forward to it.
And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And let's go to our quote for today, since we'll be talking about education. I went to Plutarch. He was a Greek Middle Platonist, philosopher, historian, biographer, essayist, and priest at the Temple of Apollo. He's known primarily for his Parallel Lives, a series of biographies of illustrious Greeks and Romans, and Moralia, a collection of essays and speeches. He was born in AD 46. He died in AD 119. And this is what he said: "The mind is not a vessel to be filled, but a fire to be kindled." And as I was thinking about all of our children, I thought that that was a great quote. Patty, your thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting. This morning on the way in, I was listening to the previous show, and Angie came up with a statistic. 20% of the generation students between the age of 20 and 24 are actually not students. They're sitting at home, and they have no job. That's a lot of people who are not filling that vessel.
Yes, we have really let our kids down. As I look at this, our kids are falling behind, particularly when you look at the world stage. And one of the reasons is I think, well, and this really segues into this Initiative 25, is we are not taking the hours in the school day and teaching kids the tools that they need: reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking, science, the scientific method. We're not doing that. We're many school districts are focused on CRT or some iteration of that, which is the critical race theory, which it just divides kids. It makes kids look, one's an oppressor, one's oppressed. That doesn't help anybody, and that is antithetical to the American idea. and then also sexualizing our children through this LGBTQ curriculum that is being also pushed by Planned Parenthood. So you fill the school day up with that. And then in comes Initiative 25 and says we're going to have to tutor the kids afterwards, right?
Right.
And so it is important that we really get a handle on education on this. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Remember, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest, and that is that silent thief, government-induced inflation, and all you have to do is look at the price of gas and you can see what that is. And all that's going to play out as you go to the grocery store and you buy all of these other goods and services. Let's jump in here. Patty, you've got a lot of headlines on here. And the first one, this is from the Epic Times. It says, the largest U.S. healthcare union will fight mandatory COVID-19 vaccines. It says, the president of the largest union of healthcare workers in the United States says the organization will fight against companies requiring mandatory COVID-19 vaccines for employees. He is, this is George Gresham. He's president of the SEIU, United Healthcare Workers East. Describes itself as the largest health union in the country and says hospital systems don't have the right to mandate vaccines for employees. The union, which is based in New York, also represents hundreds of thousands of nurses and caregivers in New Jersey, Florida, Washington, Maryland, and Massachusetts. Whether there is a legal challenge that we can make or whether it's just a pure organizational challenge that we can make, we are not going to just give in, Gresham told local news website Gothamist this week. We are seeing a number of these hospitals that are mandating this vaccine, Patty. I find this is a great move because, my friends, you have to understand this is not even a vaccine yet. This is a terminal drug therapy. And I've got to think that these different organizations that are mandating this could ultimately have legal action against them as we continue to see that there's a number of reactions that people are having from this COVID-19 experimental drug vaccine. Your thoughts, Patty?
Well, we had Chance Hill on a couple weeks ago, and that's one of the points that he brought up, is that the University of Colorado system might actually face a lawsuit sometime in the future. Like you say, it's an experimental drug. We're seeing adverse reactions. It's a personal choice. It should be left up to the person and their health provider and let them decide what is best for them.
And interestingly, somebody, Joe Rogan, who does a lot of different podcasts, I mean, very, very popular, he had a podcast just recently where they had Pierre Corey on from America's Frontline Doctors. I can't remember the name of the other guy. But they were talking about, and let's see, is it Invectrum? I can't remember. How do you pronounce it? Anyway, it's one of the treatments for COVID. And there is really no money in it for the pharmaceutical companies. It's been around forever, like hydroxychloroquine. And so they were really not held up as treatments. We had treatments for this COVID-19, as well as the survival rate was pretty good for most everybody. And so it's beyond me that we have all of these mandates coming down the pike here, Patty.
Well, I'll just go back to the fact that it is, we live in a country where people get to make their own decisions. It's individual rights, and people should have the right to decide whether or not they want this shot. They know how their body operates. And again, it's an experimental drug. We're seeing many adverse reactions. And like you said, there were some possible
treatments
that people could take. And for whatever reason, they decided that they couldn't let that out. And I agree with you. It has a lot to do with pharma and money. You always say follow the money. I think this is a case where you follow the money.
Mm-hmm. So these mandates, and Chance Hill, you mentioned him. He is a CU regent, and he brought forth this resolution. It was defeated, but it is important that we know that he's up out there doing that. So thank you to him. Another thing on the headlines here, Patty, and that is from Colorado Peak Politics. And it says Denver's new tent city rent averages $3,700 a month. It says a few dozen of Denver's homeless population moved into some expensive new digs this week, which is only fitting considering their address is Park Hill, and their neighbors include none other than U.S. Senator John Hickenlooper. The $900,000 contract from the city of Denver that extends for 6 months includes overnight accommodations for 40 people of one of these luxurious tents for just $22,500 per person. The monthly rent for these heated tents works out to $3,750. That's a pretty good mortgage on a house.
Absolutely.
You know it? But it includes dental care, COVID-19 testing, community service opportunities, and services for permanent housing. That's from Colorado Politics. But it's still not exactly a bargain for tents that retail at Target for less than $200. It says Denver rent is expensive, but $3,750 a month for a tent seems a little steep. And when we talk about homelessness, it has now become an industrial complex. You take a $200 Target tent and... Sorry about that. And the cost averages $3,750. We see that people are making big money on this. So this is now the homelessness industrial complex. And we will never, ever solve the homeless problem if we have this kind of money here. Because the people that bought the $200 tent and all the people that are living off of that $200 tent for the other $3,500, they don't want to solve the problem. Because they would lose their jobs, Patty.
Correct. They want to preserve their job. And this is a classic example of foul the money. How can you have somebody living in a camp within a tent that is $200 a month and then comes
$200
in,
and?
Right. Or just the tent is $200 mm-hmm. and you're spending $22,500 per person. Even if you go out and you put people in rental complexes, I think the average rent is like $1,800 per month. So it's a lot less expensive than the $3,750 you cited.
Well, and to that point, we have these different industrial complexes. And certainly there's the homelessness. There is... the affordable housing industrial complex. And this is just, it's another way for PBIs, those politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, to live off of the hard work of everyday hardworking Coloradans that are paying taxes. And it's, I mean, just think about young people that are trying to rub two nickels together to make sure that they get their house payment taken care of. They're being taxed. Opportunity is being taken away from them through much of the legislation that is passed down here. In fact, I was with some millennials recently, and one of the kids said, yes, not kids anymore, they're young adults, said, hey, I was going to apply for a remote job, and I can't because they said anybody in the country can apply except somebody in Colorado, and it's because of that piece of legislation that was passed this year, Patty.
Right. It actually passed a couple years ago, and it's the pay equity bill that has been signed, and it went into effect this year. And part of it is that you have to state what the salary is. And
what everybody else is making, too, right?
You just have to state what are you offering as a salary for this position. And it's hard to say because there's so many factors that go into what somebody is paid, their educational experience, their professional experience, what exactly is the job, their proficiency. Some people are starting out and they'll be taught a lot along the way. Some people already have that. They don't have to be taught, so they can go right in. And that's really being harmful for Colorado. And I know that when you're interviewing a candidate, you're not allowed to ask what their past salary history is. It's really put employers in a bind, and that's why for remote workers, businesses just don't want to deal with Colorado. They can go to 49 other states and get just as good quality and move on without the threat of a lawsuit.
And to that point is this takes away the ability for the employer and the employee to negotiate something that works for both of them. And government should not be in these negotiations. And as you mentioned, it now young people in Colorado need not apply for remote jobs because of this that just went into effect this year.
Correct.
That was the pay equity. So we're going to go to break. In studio with me is Patty Kurgan. She's our researcher. She's an author. She's written an important piece, Colorado Initiative 25, A Blind Leap of Faith. And before we do that, one of the great partners of the Kim Munson Show is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations, Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And they do have all kinds of specials. And their lunch specials at Hooters, that's available Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They have $8 items and $9 items. And then for $10, they have great fish and chips. So go to my website, check out all of my sponsors there. I highly recommend each and every one of them. Click on the Hooters tab, and all their specials will come up for this month. We're going to go to break. We'll continue on the conversation with Patty Kurgan.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. We greatly appreciate it. Looking at the next headline, producer Steve mentioned this one. This is from the Sentinel, and this is by Dave Perry. He's the editor there. It says, the Colorado vaccine lottery didn't move the needles into arms. Mandates and passports will. He says, well, so much for the $5 million carrot in Colorado's fight against the pandemic scamdemic, although we know COVID's real. It's just the reaction that's such the big scam. He says, it's time for the big stick. Colorado was one of a handful of states last month that jumped on the vaccine lottery idea, spending a whopping $5 million on the hopes that a far less than one in a million chance in winning $1 million would motivate vaccinots, I hadn't seen that, to inoculate against COVID-19. But the disease and the vaccine are free to everyone in Colorado. An AP report last week pointed out that states like Colorado creating big lottery giveaways have not moved the needles into the arms of unvaccinated people like proponents had gambled on. And so setting aside Colorado, Ohio, New Mexico, and a few other states, they've spent millions of dollars to hand it over to just a few people thinking the vaccine lottery chances would persuade people to drop their objections and roll up their sleeves. It was a nice try. And it says it was typical of Governor Napolos, who, as a state school board member, congressional legislator, and now as governor, believes that it's far better to persuade people to do the right thing. I'm not sure I would say that he persuades. Over 400 executive orders, Patty?
Right. That's mandating.
Yeah. You know, and on that point, there's people that still think that he's somewhat libertarian. And he has, I think, very good public relations handlers. But when you look at over 400 executive orders, he still has us under an emergency order here in Colorado. He is anything but trying to persuade people. But this guy wants to come right down. He wants to go to mandates and vaccine passports. I mean, this is like, show me your papers, please. This is unbelievable, Patty.
Right. So it goes back to what you always say, force versus freedom, freedom versus force. I take freedom. Let me make my own decisions. And, you know, going back to Paulus and his executive orders, we still are under this emergency. I think it's awful at this point. And the fact of the matter is, he said that he will phase us out. So instead of even recognizing that we no longer need to be under any state of emergency, he's going to phase us out, and we have no idea. He didn't say whether he's going to phase us out over a month, over 2 months, 6 months, a year. So we really have no idea when we're going to get out of this.
Yeah. Well, and this guy, this is Dave Perry. I mean, this is scary stuff, and he's the editor over at the Sentinel. He goes on. He said, no vax patch and proof of inoculation. Mask up when you're in the stores. No more honor system for people who have none. He says less than 2/3 of everyone over 12 is fully vaccinated in Colorado. And by far the greatest percentage of those vaccinated are older folks, which that makes sense. They were those that were in the higher risk category. And they're also people that are no longer probably going to be concerned about their reproduction organs or whatever. It looks like, I mean, we've heard stories of people that have gotten the vaccine that may have trouble with reproduction. We don't know that for sure, but I surely would like to know that before I put that in my arm if I was one of these young people. He says, and by far the greatest percentage of those are vaccinated are older folks. Despite that, other than a handful of employees in places like stores, restaurants, bars, and movie theaters, almost no one is wearing a mask anymore. He says, this isn't just an eye-rolling annoyance, folks. Every medical expert, right there.
Mm-hmm. Every?
Every.
No, that is not true.
I don't think so. Every medical expert in the state agrees, and that's not true either, that this is an extremely dangerous, especially because new variants spreading among Colorado residents are more contagious, more likely to inflict greater illness in its victims. He doesn't know that, and this particular vaccine would probably not be effective to new variants. And so anyway, he is going to be calling for mandates and vaccine passports. But I found it interesting. It says that less than 2/3 of Coloradans over the age of 12 are vaccinated. And they would like to make you believe that everybody out there is vaccinated, Patty.
Correct. Well, the biggest question that I have is, if someone's vaccinated, then that's supposed to protect them against the virus. So why should they care if somebody outside their realm does or does not have the vaccination?
Well, that's pretty smart.
You know, if you're protected, you're protected, right? Like when we get the measles, we give it to the MMR to our children, right? That protects them. We're supposed to be like, okay, we don't have to worry about it anymore. So if this is a vaccination and it's a great, go ahead, get it. And then you're protected and you don't have to worry about your neighbor next door who hasn't gotten the vaccination.
Yeah.
And if you're that concerned, then don't go into the stores. They have it very convenient now. You can do curbside. You can have it delivered to your door. If you want to stay in your house, that's fine. But don't make the people who want to go out and live life, make them stay in their home.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to read this last part of this. This is really, this is astounding. And this is the editor of the Sentinel. And he said, in your 20s with a pocket full of cash and the need for a beer but don't want to vaccinate? Bummer, bro. Stay home and check out your buds on Instagram, living the life, or get vaccinated and join them. That would be motivating. And for those vaccine nut heads who do their research on Facebook and put their faith in other vaccine nut jobs instead of the entire science and medical community, right there, entire science and medical community, including their own doctor, they'll be safer in their bunker until this thing truly goes away. Again, to your point, if people are vaccinated, they shouldn't be worried if, in fact, it works the way he says, quit spending money on useless carrot schemes. Save the cash for the few who need a ride or a day off after getting the vaccine and can't manage it on their own. Too many have died. Too many lives have been ruined. Are we talking about the shutdown of what happened to people? Too much has been lost, and the potential for even more death and disaster is still far too great to just hope people who often live their lives in the dark will suddenly see the light. He says, bring out the stick so we can all say thanks a million. This is terrifying.
I don't think this guy, I mean, clearly he's not a fan of Polis, and that's maybe what drew my attention to this. But then that segment that you just read just now, he doesn't like people who think for themselves, obviously.
Obviously.
The other comment that I'd like to make is, we do have something in common. When he cites, quit spending money on useless carrot schemes. I agree 100%. And okay. The other thing, too, is I know people, they've gotten postcards now in the mail.
Oh.
They're getting letters in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
They receive text messages.
I got my letter over the weekend. Yes. And I thought, oh, I got to hand this over to Kim. Because it was just like we were told. They were coming. It happened.
Well, and the other Steve, thing, you don't have to give me yours because I got one.
My question on all this, though, is what about HIPAA? Mm-hmm. So now your postman knows that you haven't gotten the vaccination. Mm-hmm. Employees at the health department know that you haven't gotten your vaccination. It's nobody's business. Just if people have decided not to get the vaccination, again, that's their individual choice. That is their right. And they get to deal with the consequences of their action.
Right. But I tell you, this force thing, this is scary when you have an editor of a newspaper that is writing this kind of stuff. One other thing I wanted to mention, and that is the U.S. military launches airstrikes against three facilities on the Iraq-Syrian border. And it says, at least one facility used by Iran's militia forces to launch and recover drones was destroyed, a U.S. defense official with knowledge of the strikes told Fox News. It says the U.S. military conducted defensive precision airstrikes against three facilities near the Iraq-Syrian border region Sunday evening. And it says, according to Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby, the facilities are used by several Iran-backed militia groups engaged in unmanned aerial vehicle attacks against U.S. personnel and facilities in Iraq. And it says, as demonstrated by this evening's strikes, President Biden has been clear that he will act to protect U.S. personnel. Let's just connect this dot. Wasn't it Iran that received all that cash from the Obama-Biden administration? And wasn't it President Trump that there was looked like we were working towards peace in the Middle East? In fact, President Trump was nominated for three or four Nobel Peace Prize, or had three or four nominations for the Nobel Peace Prize. And here we are, gosh, 6 months in, and Biden is doing airstrikes. Patty, I find this astonishing.
I'm just speechless with Biden and Harris. So I don't know what to say, because I think that they have really outdone themselves in terms of really hurting Americans, and then they do something else. And I just don't understand where they're coming from. And, you know, you talk about Obama, and it was hundreds of billions of dollars that we gave Iran.
In cash,
on pallets, secretly.
It certainly is of great concern. And the fact that they're taking military action, we talk about this a lot, Patty, and that is that the veil is off. And whether or not you liked President Trump or not, he brought clarity to these issues. And I'm grateful for that, because remember when they were talking about Trump, do you really want him to have his finger on that red button or whatever? Well, here now we have Biden is in office. Nothing happened under Trump. We were headed towards peace. And here the U.S. is doing airstrikes. I mean, it's important for people to connect those dots, Patty.
And don't forget, Nancy Pelosi was questioning whether Biden should have the codes to that red button, too.
Well, that may be something that Pelosi and I might agree on. You're finding some common ground on a lot of things. Let's go to break. When we come back, we will be talking with Patty Kurgan. On my website, she's written a really important piece. It's posted there, Colorado Initiative 25, A Blind Leap of Faith. A tremendous amount of research went into this piece. And when we come back, we'll break this down for you. Stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is Patty Kurgan. She does our research. She's an author. And she's written a very important piece, Colorado Initiative 25, A Blind Leap of Faith. And this is interesting. It's out there right now in the initiative process. That means there are petitioners out there getting signatures. They have to get a certain number of signatures. And if they get that and that's verified by the Secretary of State, then it will be on the November 2021 ballot. Correct, Patty?
Correct.
Okay. And so what's this time frame? They're out there now?
They're out there right now, and they have through August 2nd to collect these signatures.
How many do you...
I think it's like 130,000, right around there.
Okay. And they have to verify that they're Colorado voters and all. So and Colorado Initiative 25, it really jumped on your radar. Somebody asked you to take a look at it. And it hadn't been our radar until you did that. And it's already been there. It looks like there's been a coalition that has been forming of influential Republicans that are endorsing this. But as you read this, the piece that you've done is really important. So tell us what this is exactly.
Okay. Well, it's called the Learning, Enrichment, and Academic Progress Program. And so essentially it's an after-school program where students can participate in tutoring activities, whether it be drama, art, STEM projects, things like that. So people are looking at it strictly as an educational enrichment. However, and I haven't seen it in any of the articles that I've been reading, it also includes like emotional and physical therapy, mental health services, social emotional learning, mentoring, things like that. So it's just not education. It has other pieces to this. When you talk about support, I think people are just looking at the educational aspect. And when you mention conservative people, I think they've been misled. Maybe they haven't read the initiative, but they're thinking about homeschoolers, online learners, or private schools where they might get tuition. They will get a voucher. There is no voucher, is not even mentioned in this initiative. It is funds that will go to low-income students. It's a minimum of $1,500 per year for a minimum of 3 years.
But so, it doesn't go to the student, right?
No, it goes from the authority, which we can talk about shortly. It goes from the authority to the provider. So going back to homeschoolers and private schools, homeschoolers, it specifically states, and I will quote it from the initiative, immediate family members are not eligible to be qualified providers in the provision of services to their child or youth. So if you're a parent and you're teaching at home, you cannot participate in this program because you cannot be a provider. And providers need to be certified as well, which we can talk about a little bit later. And then it continues on, and they call it the learning opportunity, does not include payment of school tuition. So this is not a voucher. If you send a student to a private school, you cannot use this for tuition. Or even if you're doing online classes, you cannot use this for tuition. So it's so I do scratch my head a little bit and go, well, why would it? I could see if it had vouchers in it, but it doesn't. I'm not sure what they see will be a benefit for families.
And what's interesting is, and I'm in some conversations with some people, there was an op-ed that was in the Greeley Tribune within the last few days by a retired teacher who she is against this as well. But I think she's on the opposite spectrum and the political spectrum, and I'm going to check some more out on this. And Patty, as you've done research on this, this is not being proposed really by school choice advocates. This is actually being proposed and written by people on the left, correct?
Well, there was an article in the Colorado Sun, and Michael Johnson is the main supporter of this and got it going. And he has spent close to $1 million. He's with a foundation. That foundation.
Is that the Gary Foundation, I
correct.
Think? Right.
Correct. So he's very much involved in it, and this is what he wants. And he stated that the school, the teachers' unions, were sitting almost next to him as they were writing it up. So, but going back to that Greeley piece, she brings up vouchers. And again, if you read, it's 15 pages, and it's pretty easy to read. It's not one of those really hard, difficult bills or initiatives to read. And she brings up vouchers, but vouchers is not listed in this initiative. So people are being misled. I'm not sure why they're saying there's going to be vouchers. The money will never touch the family's hands. It will go from the program itself to the provider. And even that, again, you have to be certified to be a provider and to get the program up and running as quickly as possible. They are pre-certifying teachers and school districts. Stating that they already have certification to teach, so we're going to let them have first dibs in becoming tutors. So one of the questions that goes through my head is, okay, if these are, there's many good teachers, so this is not an all statement, but if teachers are failing in the classroom teaching, then why are you going to put them on the first and front line to tutor? Why do you think there's going to be a different outcome?
Well, and it goes back to, Patty, our kids are falling behind because I think a lot of it is because of curriculum. And the curriculum is being forced down from the top. And that is this critical race theory. And there's different school districts that are pushing forward critical race theory, but they're not calling it critical race theory. So they're saying, we're not teaching critical race theory. But yet they're still teaching this divisiveness and this idea that there's haves and have-nots and oppressors and oppressed. Actually, in education in America, the idea is to teach each kid, give each student the tools that they can take and go out and pursue their happiness and be a success. And that's why we have this big, broad middle class. I was driving around yesterday, and I was looking at all these different little restaurants that were really hurt through this reaction and these 400 executive orders from Governor Polis. But there's little Vietnamese restaurants, and there's Chinese restaurants, and there's Mexican restaurants, all these different restaurants. And many of them are being run by immigrants, people that have come here not for free stuff, but for freedom, so that they can pursue their dreams. And instead, now there's different school districts that are teaching this critical race theory, and then also the sexualizing of our kids at younger and younger ages. I mean, getting down into kindergarten, when we talk about all day government paid for preschool, as expensive as childcare is, people think that sounds attractive, but the earlier and earlier they can get your kids is of great concern to me. And so what are they teaching? And clearly we are squandering much of the money that we're spending for the education of kids during the school day by teaching them this and not teaching them reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking. And we got to get a handle on it, Patty.
Now, I agree. And I live in Douglas County, and they have a program called No Place for Hate. In fact, there's 75 programs across the state, and 40 of them are in that county, half of them. And
40 of them are in Douglas County.
Yeah, that's what I've been told.
Huh.
And it starts in kindergarten. And it's like you talk about you want to unify people, and through these programs, they're really dividing people. And again, it's according to skin color, and it's just mind-boggling what they're doing. I look back 10 years ago, and I don't think people really looked at skin color and was like, oh, you know, they're different than me. But because there's been such a overwhelming amount out there in society now about skin color, it's like, oh yeah, they are different, or you know,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
I don't know. I've got friends of all different colors, shapes, whatever, and I've never looked at them and identified them as such. And going to your point about people coming here, for freedom. Yesterday I was meeting a friend, and we were going to have coffee at this place called Francie's, and it's run by a Colombian family. And COVID hit them, and they're out of business, and they're scrambling to see maybe if they can come back at a different location. But it's really sad because it was a nice neighborhood coffee shop that people went to and really enjoyed it.
Yes, and when we look at what the reaction to this was really taking out these small businesses, the middle class, because freedom people vote for freedom. And what we see happening now with Harris-Biden-Obama Rice administration, and of course then what's happening here in Colorado with Polis and this legislature, they are really trying to put people more into the collective. Mm-hmm. And so we are really in a fight for our country right now. And of course, education is a place that I think we've been asleep at the wheel. And speaking of that, this Sunday is Independence Day. And we have already recorded the show for America's Veteran Stories. And interestingly enough, we talk about, it's an interview that I did with retired Army General Joe Arbuckle. And he had started an organization when General Mattis came out and going after Trump. He put together very quickly 197 different flag officers, that's your admirals and your generals, to push back on the Mattis narrative out there. And they now have flag officers for America, and they have solutions on what we can do. But he feels, and I agree with him, that we are at a critical time in our country. And of course, education is very important, but I would recommend that people tune into that. Patty, let's go to break. When we come back, we haven't even talked about the money or how this thing runs, which is very important as well. And I'm talking with Patty Kergan on my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Patty has really delved into this Colorado Initiative 25. They call it LEAP. They always have great words, but we're in a great battle of language. And so we're calling it Colorado Initiative 25, a blind leap of faith. Before we go to break, though, another great partner of mine is Castlegate Knife and Tool. Family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Great place if you need a wedding gift. They have beautiful knife sets. If you're a collector or a sportsman or a chef, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. And be sure and check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Patty Kergan.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. In studio with me is Patty Kergan. She's a researcher as well as she is an author. And her latest op-ed, Colorado Initiative 25, A Blind Leap of Faith, is on my website. Patty, a tremendous amount of research and critical thinking that you've put into this particular piece. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we were talking a bit about freedom, people coming to America not for free stuff, which is unsustainable, but for freedom. And during break, you said there was a point that you wanted to make about freedom in education.
Right. So if hopefully this does not come to exist, but if it does, parents are not given the freedom to choose what program their child will participate in. In fact, there's a line in there and it says, "We will help parents choose," which made me think of Reagan when he said, "The worst word you can hear is, I'm the government and I'm here to help you." Anyways, This is the, so the authority will have a board, and then the board will assign certain people to do things. And one of the offshoots will be they get to decide what the curriculum will be, who will be the providers, and what they will teach. So it's not like you even say, okay, I really need this specific teaching for my child. So
the subject or...
Right. Mm-hmm. Where do I go for this? And the comment can come back and say, oh, I'm sorry, we're not going down that road. That's not one of your options. So you are limited by this pre-select menu that the program puts together.
What about if you don't like the person, and just different person, maybe I shouldn't say don't like, but maybe the personality of the quote-unquote tutor doesn't really, you know, match up or work well with your child's personality. I wonder if you have choices on that. I'm not sure that you would have a choice. We don't know for sure,
We
right?
don't know. I would say they might have, again, they're going to pre-certified teachers, so that they're going to have limited number of people, and that's what's going to happen in that regard. And remember, the other point is, this is not... I point out that on the first page, they talk about all Colorado children. And then by the third page, that term, that phrase, totally disappears. Mm-hmm. And now they're talking about eligible children. So they're really going after the low-income students. And what's really interesting is people are starting to get letters in the mail, different type of letter, mm-hmm. not from the health department, but from the IRS. And they're being notified that the Biden tax credit for children, they should start receiving their checks soon. So if you have a child under the age of 6, you get $3,600 per year. And you can use it how you wish. And if the child is over 6, and I think up to 18, you get $3,000. So why don't you start there and let people use those funds for after-school programs? Remember, this is an after-school program as well. And see how that goes. There's a lot of money being pumped into education right now. We got, $2.3 billion from COVID relief that went into the education system.
And while all this is happening, our kids are falling behind.
Right.
How many parents have you talked to that said last year was a tough year for my kids, and our kids are falling behind, all this money, and it just goes like what we're talking about over here on this homeless camp. $3,700 a month for a $200 tent. Where is all the money going? You know, there's two ways to become wealthy. One is to earn it or to make money. The other is to steal it. And this is just legalized theft, if you really look at it. And all of this money that's going here, people are not working for it. They're not solving the problem. And they're taking other people's hard-earned dollars. Patty, this is an attack on the middle class. It's continued and continued and continued. It started back many years ago in college when you moved away from scholarships that were merit-based. People worked to get those scholarships to needs-based. And who did that squeeze? It squeezed the middle class. It was difficult for the middle class to send their kids to school. The rich could, and the poor could, or the lower on the lower economic ladder, but it was an assault on the middle class. This started a long time ago. And then when we saw what happened with the COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, this business is essential. This business isn't. And what you pulled out on this initiative 25, the first page talks about all children, and then you get into the weeds and it's eligible children, picking winners and losers.
Right. I don't think the middle class is going to see much from this because there's going to be a lot of money wasted. And it's interesting because I think it's by the year 2024 where they say that only 10% of costs can be administrative costs. Prior to that, there's no cap. So it's like, okay, so how much is going to be administrative costs? We'll have to wait and see for that, but we know it's going to be high. But it's only within the program itself. So once they dole out the money to, let's say, ABC Learning Center, they might take 50% off the top for their administrative costs, and only 50% is going to the children that we're supposed to be helping. And we've seen this time and time again. So why would we be surprised if it doesn't happen again?
Right.
There's you know, you read the initiative, there is nothing in there. And again, it's only 15 pages long, and the nitty-gritty details are yet to be discussed and voted upon. And we'll just have to wait and see. Well, I don't want to wait and see. I don't think this is the way to go. And even the board itself, when they started, there's 9 people that will be on the board, and they're all appointed by the governor, and they have to be approved by the Senate. Granted, there's a line in there that says you can't have more than 5 people from one party. You know what? Parties today, people will say they're Republican. Some people mm-hmm. say they're Democrat. And they're registered so that they can fit into certain categories. So
they've been playing long ball on that as well. They just exactly. changed their registration.
And we've seen one party rule for 3 years now. So why do we think that there's going to be a positive outcome
right.
out of this?
Right.
They continually come and they attack the hardworking person. And as you say, I truly believe it's the middle class that gets hurt the most.
Well, 2 things we haven't really talked about, and that is how this is going to be funded.
Oh, well, you know what? It's sin taxes. They're the best way to go, right? So they're going to do a marijuana tax. It starts off at 3% the first year. Second year goes to 4%. The next third year goes to 5%. But there is a maximum of 15% that they can place on that marijuana. And it's marijuana.
That's an additional,
already,
right?
Right. This is an additional tax. So right now it's 15%. Tax on marijuana, if this goes through next year, will be 18. But again, it has a maximum of 15. So you could go to 30%. So sin taxes, people love them. Think of last year when they did Proposition EE, which was predominantly for preschools. Polis's preschool plan. They're still
That was the cigarette tax.
That was
right?
a cigarette tax. There, it won. It voters 67%+. Mm-hmm.
And the gambling tax was for water.
Right, but mm-hmm. going back to the cigarette tax, yeah, it doesn't completely fund the mm-hmm. preschool program that they're setting mm-hmm. up. So yeah. you know, but so this one will be for marijuana. Will go towards this after-school program. And then they want to take money from the land trust fund, which is interesting because 95%, I was reading last night on the state land board, if you go to that website, 95% of what they take in already goes to schools. And they've contributed well over $2 billion to mm-hmm. schools over a number of years.
So one has to wonder if they're going to take that money over here.
Right. So if they take the land trust money out, then they might come back, the educators come back and say, well, now we lost all this money, so you have to give us more money out of the general fund.
And we agree. We want to pay our good teachers more. When you look at what you said, $2.8 billion that came through the stimulus money.
It's 2.3.
I don't see teachers, our great teachers, getting more money. Where's all that money going? But the other thing, my friends, you need to realize that if taxes get so high on something, it creates a black market. And if taxes on marijuana continue to grow significantly like this, it is an open invitation for the cartels to come even more into Colorado because of this. And we see an increase in crime. And so you can increase crime. You say it's for the kids. One other thing, unelected authority.
Correct.
Is going to be the governing board. So talk about that,
It's
going to
be a brand new bureaucracy mm-hmm. that no one is held accountable. It's not, they don't have to, they're unelectable. They don't report to anybody but themselves, which is scary. And again, so they'll have the right, they can borrow money, which we don't have, right? So they,
without asking for Tabor, right?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. It gives them tremendous amount of power.
Right, and also then they also have all this new tax money coming in. One other thing you mentioned when we were talking, that as this grows, within a few years, they're anticipating that the revenue would be $200 million. Is that right, something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so 10% of $200 million for administrative costs is $20 million. And then as you mentioned, as they put it out to the contractors, from what you saw in there was no stipulation on how much there. But even if, with the contractors, you can see how they dole money out and they live off of you know, our tax dollars.
Right.
So,
right.
So making our communities less safe, using that money for an after-school program where they pick winners and losers, instead of making sure that what we're doing during the school day is giving the kids the correct tools, this does look like a blind leap of faith, in fact, if people are going to support this, Patty.
I agree.
So this is a very important piece. What's your final thoughts on all this, Patty?
If someone comes up to you to ask to sign the Initiative 25 LEAP, say absolutely not, and encourage your neighbors, your families, say no. And as I always encourage people, read the initiative. And I'm sure you'll agree with what we just discussed today.
And one other point, they have the kind of the title of it, but the initiative is 14 pages long. So before you sign something or before you vote on something, read it. We will be doing a voter's guide again this year on all these initiatives and ballot questions. And on your op-ed, you have the link to the initiative so people
yes.
can sit down and read it. There's no excuse for us not to know what's going on out there. Patty Kergan, you do such a great job, and this is an important piece. You're going to have another follow-up piece.
Yes, I'm working on it, and hopefully it will be out on your webpage next Sunday.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know it was going to be that fast. That's awesome. Yeah. So Patty Kergan, thank you so much for being in studio. And again, that is Colorado Initiative 25, a blind leap of faith. If you are approached at the grocery store or someplace to sign it, decline, because if we can prevent that getting onto the ballot, that is a big win for the people of Colorado. Our quote for today is from Plutarch. He says, "The abuse of buying and selling votes crept in, and money began to play an important part in determining elections. Later on, this process of corruption spread to the law courts, and then to the army, and finally the republic was subjected to the rule of emperors." And he lived right after Christ, the birth of Christ. And today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals and, like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.